Welcome, everyone, to a Baseball America podcast. It's Regional Podcast 2 Electric Boogaloo with John Manuel and Aaron Fitt. Aaron, before we dive into the regionals and the right side of the bracket, big coaching news, the biggest coaching matzo ball is no longer out there. I'm sure that's the first time Nebraska and matzo ball have been used in the same phrase. But Nebraska has hired a coach, and it's a very familiar name, Darren Erstad. He might be the first cover boy but since Tony Gwynn to become a college baseball head coach. But what's your reaction to Nebraska's impending impending press conference where they're going to name Darren Erstad their new head coach?
I think it's intriguing. I think that's the perfect word for it. I don't know ultimately if it's a good hire or a bad hire, but I'm intrigued by it. It's a big name. It's a splashy hire. I think it'll generate some interest in that program. And, maybe they needed to do that. Maybe they needed to make a splash because it doesn't seem like there's been a lot of excitement about that program recently. And, it's hard to say, whether this is a good move or not, though, long term. I mean, he's only got 1 year of experience as a volunteer assistant on that staff. And, it's not easy to be a college coach. There's a lot to it. There's administrative things and there's various, different engagements and, recruiting, obviously. And it's not just going out there and coaching ball players. I guess Nebraska feels confident that he can handle all those responsibilities. I like the fact that, this guy, he's got a track record as a blue collar grinder kind of a guy. I can't see him running his program the way maybe that Chad Kruder, for instance, ran his, like a big league team. Maybe this will work out, whereas some other big league hires have not.
I think those are all good points. I think the biggest thing is the NCAA rule book is a chore, and getting used to working in college versus when you've been in the professional baseball environment for 15 years. That's tough, and I think it has potential to be a good hire because he is a Nebraska guy, and it's a destination job. But he better hire a good recruiter. He better hire a couple of assistant coaches who really can get after it and beat those bushes and know those rules inside and out. Because even when you've been a college coach for a long time, like a Pat Murphy, if you hire assistant coaches who are from pro ball, Andy Stankiewicz, who's now the head coach at Grand Canyon, by the way, Andy Stankiewicz was a big part of that. The phone calls and all that stuff that got Arizona State on probation. And Andy Stankiewicz didn't know the rule book. He'd been in pro ball for a long time. That's not the only reason. He's not the fall guy. Pat Murphy's responsible for what happened at Arizona State. But sometimes if you're a pro guy, some of the little things in that rule book don't always matter to you. That's been my experience. And the other thing is, Tony Gwynn's been at San Diego State for a long time. They made one regional. Now, that's more than they made in the previous 10 years before he got there. But BYU, Vance Law hasn't had a lot of success. I'd say Ed Sprague is probably the best case scenario where it took over a bedraggled program and has done pretty well at Pacific, even though they haven't gone to regionals. So, Darren Erstad, if he just gets Nebraska, if they win a Big Ten title, that'll be doing better than pretty much all the other big league alumni, guys who had significant big league careers. Of course, the best big league alumnus college baseball coach is Wayne Graham.
Wayne Graham, of course.
So that's it. So you can have success. You just have to be a crappy big league player to have success as a college player. How can we win with players like Graham?
So anyway,
I just love that Wayne Graham is coaching baseball older than Casey Stengel managed in the big league. So it's pretty amazing. Fitzy, let's dive right in with both feet and not head first into the regionals. Let's be safe about it. starting off in Gainesville, Fitzy, number one Florida, number one in the regional, number one in our rankings, number two in the top eight national seeds. The SEC tournament champion Gators play host to Miami, Jacksonville, and Manhattan. I think we talked about it a little bit the other day, a little bit surprised that Miami was sent to Gainesville, especially considering they've played three times this year. The Gators swept that series. Does the injury to Brian Johnson and his concussion, how much of a wrench is that for Florida? Does that make you have a little bit more doubt about the Gators being able to win this regional?
No, it doesn't. They're one of the few teams out there that can withstand an injury to a weekend starter and really not miss a beat. And that's nothing against Brian Johnson, who I really like, and he's a valuable two-way player. Certainly, he's a big part of the lineup as well, but they're just so deep on the mound. It's absurd. It's absurd how deep they are on the mound. When Johnson got hurt the other day, they had Anthony DeSclafani out there, and he went out there and dealt for 6 2/3 or something like that, longest outing of his career. But the guy's got premium stuff, you know, and he doesn't get to pitch deep into games very often, but you know, they have Tommy Toledo, they have Alex Panayiotis, who was their number one starter last year in an Omaha team, and is
right.
You know, not even close to the weekend rotation right now. You know, they've just on and on. I think Carson Whitson obviously would become your number two, pretty good number two. It's just a really deep pitching staff, and I don't think that's going to slow them down.
I tell you what, I am concerned for Florida just because they've had so much trouble in midweek, and they never really fix that, and while DeSclafani did pitch well in the SEC tournament, the game that he pitched deep in, they lost.
That's true.
They lost that game. So, you know, this will be a bad weekend to have a bad weekend, you know. So, and I think the Gators are going to be a little bit wary of Miami. Miami's not going to go like 0-5 for the year against Florida. I just think that Miami, the talent gap there is significant, but I think Miami's a team that's gotten better as the year's gone on, and they have – I would say the most dynamic player, maybe not the best offensive player, but the most dynamic player of those two teams is Zeke DeVos. And he was a tour de force in the ACC tournament. He's got 53 walks. He's got a .487 on-base percentage. He steals bases efficiently. He's made Miami better by moving to second base. He's a good prospect. I'm a Zeke DeVos guy. I like Zeke DeVos.
Yeah.
So I think Miami's going to be dangerous. And they started to get their pitching going. Radzewski, I know I pronounced his name wrong. They've got left-handers. I think they're going to be dangerous. All that said, it wouldn't shock me if Miami lost their first-round game to Jacksonville because the Dolphins can really hit. I mean, they're on paper the best offense in this regional other than, I guess, Florida's. I still think Florida's going to win this regional. But they got a tough draw for the number two overall seed. They got a tough draw, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I thought, like I said, I thought that a team like Stetson was a more likely number two seed there. You know, maybe even Central Florida. Although, you know, I might rather see Miami than Central Florida. I think Central Florida is dangerous with all its power. We talked about them yesterday, but you know, I'm still not afraid of Miami. You know, they just haven't beaten, for the most part, they haven't beaten the elite teams that they've played. I mean, it's very similar to what they did last year when they took care of business against the Virginia Techs and the Wake Forests. This year, I should say, they took care of business against the Virginia Techs and the Wake Forests and the Boston Colleges and those teams, the Maryland's. And they, with the exception of that one series win in North Carolina, they lost all their series against the regional teams in the league. So I just don't think they're good enough to win this regional. And I think Jacksonville is a lot more physical than they are. You know, I was just talking with Kyle Peterson, who's broadcast the Gainesville Regional, and he was watching Adam Brett Walker taking BP and just marveling at how the ball just explodes off his bat, even with Wood and BP. That guy is a beast, and Daniel Gilbranson is a really good hitter, and you know, they're it's a deep lineup, it's an explosive lineup, and with the exception of Zeke DeVos, I don't think Miami is explosive, and DeVos isn't a power guy, but I agree with you that he's explosive. He's a really exciting player.
I don't disagree with you that Jacksonville's got better pitching. I think they really do have better offense than Miami does. I think they really do. But I will just say again, I'm not gonna pick against Jim Morris if I don't have to. I don't think Miami's gonna win this regional, but that team has gotten a lot better since early in the year when he had his kidney stones and that issue and missed some games. And it's another sign of what kind of coach he is. They've had the kind of season they have. Despite the fact they don't have great talent. And I think the Canes are dangerous. And I think the main reason they're dangerous is the guy in the dugout, but we're both picking the Gators. But we disagree on the U. I think they're more dangerous than you do. But, you know, Jacksonville, it's hard for me to pick against longtime personal cheeseball. Well, not longtime, but personal cheeseball, Taylor Ratliff. I love Taylor Ratliff. His dad's like the mayor of Perry County in Florida, and he's a big fish from the small pond who's had a really nice year this year as a freshman. So, I like Taylor Ratliff, although I don't think he has plus speed. I adjusted that to plus speed. But anyway, that's a whole other story. Atlanta regional, Aaron, contrasting the Florida regional with the Georgia Tech regional, I thought Georgia Tech is kind of a, you know, cakewalk outside of the fact that they've got a very tough four seed in Austin Peay.
Right.
But Mississippi State, the 3, and a diminished Southern Mississippi club. Is there any club that's stumbling into regionals more than Southern Miss.
Boy, you know, not really. I mean, talk about backing up. You know, they really not only have they lost, they've had three straight losing weekends, kind of in the conference tournament. That's it.
Beep.
Thank you.
You were waiting for it.
Not only have they lost three straight weekends, yes, we are. But, you know, they're without two-thirds of their weekend rotation now. I mean, it sounds like Jeffrey Thomas will not be back. They're holding out hope that he would be. He's really got the best arm on that whole staff. Todd McGinnis is the best pitcher. Right. And Colin Cargill, of course, in the bullpen, the undershooter, as they call him. But, you know, without Thomas and Jonathan Thompson, boy, it's hard to see them going in there winning that regional. In Mississippi State, I think, has a lot of questions on the mound. I really like Mississippi State's athleticism, but it's not a scary offense, and its pitching is really a concern. I think Georgia Tech's pitching is so much better and certainly in better shape than either of those two teams. I think Georgia Tech is clearly the best team in this regional by a lot. But like you said, I mean, I really like Austin Peay. I could see Austin Peay finishing second in this regional.
I know you like Austin Peay. Best chant in college baseball or college sports. Is there any concern, Aaron, about Georgia Tech? 17 of the 34 guys on their roster are freshmen. Is there any concern about a team with that many freshmen hitting the wall, or does the fact they rely on veterans in their weekend rotation and on the mound, does that kind of negate that a little bit for you?
Yeah, I think that takes a lot of the pressure off of the younger guys. And, you know, when you've got a Mark Pope and a Jed Bradley and a Buck Farmer going out there, boy, that makes it a lot easier, you know. And the fact that these freshmen haven't worn down yet, I don't think they're necessarily due to wear down. I mean, I think it's good that they weathered the storm to this point. You know, Kyle Wren hasn't really dropped off. He continues to be that spark plug for them at the top. Mott Hyde, I feel like he's actually played better lately than he did earlier in the season.
I agree.
And Daniel Palka maybe has tailed off after his good start, but those are really the three key freshmen in the lineup, and at least two of them I feel like are still playing at a very high level.
And the thing is, like, Daniel Palka is almost, I mean, he's not been much of a drop off from Tony Plagman. I mean, yeah. Tony Plagman was a veteran guy in that lineup for 3 years, and Palka provides a lot of the same things. He's physical, power. It was some swing and miss. And he doesn't walk a lot, but hey, that was Tony Plagman too. So I agree with you. I think so. We're both picking the Yellow Jackets in that regional, correct?
Correct.
I think Austin Peay could be that number two team. I like Mississippi State okay. I love it if Nick Rout started throwing the screwball changeup more, but you know, it sounds like that hurts a lot when he throws that screwball changeup. So
yeah.
I like their athleticism, you know, their youth. I don't think they deserve to get a regional bid, but I would have taken LSU over Mississippi State, but that's a whole other subject. I think it's Georgia Tech and a walk there. Tempe Regional, Aaron, and this is a tough one. Arizona State as the one seed and host, Arkansas as the two, Charlotte the three, New Mexico the four, and first shout out to Ray Birmingham for getting the Lobos to back-to-back regionals after they hadn't been since 1962. I mean,
amazing.
It's really amazing. And this year, obviously, it's a Cinderella, you know, come up through the losers, come up through the conference tournament and win the conference tournament as, what, the sixth seed, the seventh seed? I mean, 18 right. win. But that's 16 wins going into that conference tournament?
That's it, 16-39.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And, you know, they're not really a factor, we don't think, to win this. But, I mean, as Ray Birmingham said, if you beat TCU twice, you could beat anybody.
Yeah.
But that doesn't sound like their talent level is at the same level as these other clubs. How dangerous is Charlotte? 42-14, pretty gaudy record out of the Atlantic 10. What does Charlotte do well that people need to know about?
They're a pitching and defense team, and their offense, you know, has really come along because they can run. They've got a lot of team speed, especially in the outfield. They can manufacture offense pretty well. I mean, earlier in the year, when, you know, speaking with Lauren Hibbs, the coach there, he called his team offensively challenged. But look at the end of the year, and the numbers are pretty good. You know, I mean, they don't have power, but they can score runs. Arizona State doesn't have a lot of power either. For that matter, you know, but they're certainly not as good an offensive team as Arizona State, and they're not as good as of a pitching team, but they've got solid strike-throwing guys. You know, Andrew Smith and Joe Yermel, a couple of guys who have come back from injuries very well, you know, and I like their infield. Corey Shaler's a great player. He's been there for a regular starter there for 4 years, and you know, he's playing a lot of confidence right now. Just had a big conference tournament. They're a good little club. I mean, I don't know that they have the firepower necessarily to compete with these other two teams, Arkansas and Arizona State. And I think those teams are a lot more talented. But I like Charlotte. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see them win a couple of games in this regional.
It sounds like you would be surprised, though, if they, you know, if they won the regional, though. Who has a chance to win this regional? Is Arizona State the only team that really is likely to win a regional? Or does Arkansas have enough talent to win this regional?
I think Arkansas could do it, too. I mean, the thing about Arkansas is, you know, I feel a lot better about their chances to win regional if they were at home. I just think they're a much better home team than they are road team. But, you know, that said, I mean, they've gone through a whole season now. They're battle-tested. They shouldn't fold up on the road. I mean, I like the way they play. You know, they have a really aggressive style. They take a lot of chances on the base paths, and you know, they've got some good line drive hitters. Love Dominic Ficicello, Fick the Stick.
I like
be a great
that.
Player. Gonna be a great player. Already is a very good player. You know, again, it's a very athletic team. I don't love their pitching after DJ Baxendale. I think it's questionable, but If Ryan Stanek pitches the way he did in the SEC tournament, they got a chance because he was electric that day.
Yeah, he seems like he's the – I think you put it well in the regional capsule. He is their X factor. And, you know, for me, it's fascinating to see how Arizona State season has played out, because they've had this NCAA investigation over their head, the Corey Hahn thing like you pointed out. And then in the regional capsules, which is probably already posted at baseballamerica.com by the time you're listening to this. But, you know, their offense, Aaron, just has never quite clicked. And they should have been a team that it seems would have been helped by the bats, because they were always a line drive, not a power hitting team. But instead, they seem like they've really been diminished offensively by the bats.
I've been very surprised by it. I thought coming into the year, I thought they were going to have the best offense in college baseball, and certainly it has not been. You know, the guy, Joey DeMichael, has become their leading hitter. That's the guy you never heard of going into the season. He had, what, 6 at-bats as a freshman last year.
Right.
And he seems like the only guy who's hitting the ball consistently with authority. I've been very disappointed in Zach McPhee and Zach Wilson and you know, even Devin Marrero hasn't had a huge year. Johnny Rudiger has been okay, but hasn't had a huge year. I mean, all those guys, I thought those are 4 preseason All-Americans, and none of them, you know, has really produced in a big way. So, you know, that said, I think they're all good players. I think they're winning players. I think this team is, again, athletic. This is an athletic regional. And you know, there's plays. They're really good home team. I mean, they always have been. They're 25-7 at home this year. I have a hard time picking against the Sun Devils at home, especially since I think their pitching is also the best of this regional by a pretty fair margin.
That's the difference for me. So I did pick the Sun Devils. How about you?
Yeah, me too. I'm taking Arizona State.
We're in agreement so far on the right side of the brackets here on the Baseball America podcast with John and Aaron. Aaron, let's move on to Austin. Texas State, Kent State, Princeton. You look at all the twos. I mean, Southern Miss, as we just talked about, a little diminished, but they earned that 2 seed with what they did in the regular season. I got to think that Texas State and Baylor are probably the two weakest 2 seeds, at least for me. Mm. And, you know, Texas being a national seed, and Baylor and Rice at 7-8, the two lowest top 8 national seeds, in my mind, got the weakest number 2 seeds. I guess geography trumped everything else.
Yeah, I think so. I agree. I mean, Baylor being 3 games over 500 is a little surprise as a 2 seed. And Texas State with its, 2-10 record against the top 50. I mean,
right.
That said, all those games, for the most part, were midweek. And Texas State is a lot better on weekends than it is midweek, because it's got a couple of pitchers. It just doesn't have a deep pitching staff. Love the pitching matchup up in that first game between Carson Smith and Andrew Chafin. You know, Chafin is I think just a really exciting pitcher, a left-hander, you know, 90-95, great slider, developed a changeup. That changeup, I think, is going to be important because Texas State has some good right-handed bats with Callan Koski, of course, coming to mind. Casey Callan Koski has had such a huge season for them. But, you know, I think that Kent State is built to succeed in this ballpark more than Texas State is. I feel like the Bobcats are more of a home run hitting team. You know, as much as I love Tyler Sibley, the spark plug, one of my favorite players out there, you know, I feel like in general, Kent State is a team that uses the gaps and pitches and plays defense. You know, Kent State could make some noise here. I think people maybe are sleeping on them a little bit as a three seed. But you know, they've been to three straight regionals. They've got a lot of veterans. They've got power arms at the front and the back with, you know, with Chafin and Kyle McMillan, the closer. You know, they've got experienced guys in the lineup who can hit. Ben Klafczynski and Travis Shaw, those guys are pretty good. This team is dangerous.
You obviously feel that way. You wrote about them with some conviction. Now you're talking about them with some conviction. Do they have can they push Texas to the limit like, say, a Boston College did a couple years ago? They don't seem, especially if they don't have, you know, if they're using Chafin as a starter and not in a relief role, you know, like Mike Belfiore held, you know, Texas at bay that year, much stiffer Texas lineup. Much more potent Texas lineup. It just seems like that ballpark, Texas is so built to win at home. I have a hard time picking anybody to beat Texas at home.
No, I'm the same way. I mean, I can't pick against Texas, but I think Kent State, would I be stunned if Kent State won in there and pulled off the upset? Well, I'd be surprised because it's Texas. You know, it's Texas.
Right.
It's the brand name means so much.
Yeah.
The coach and the dugout means so much. But I won't be stunned if Kent State wins this regional. That said, I'm taking Texas, of course.
I'm taking Texas as well. I don't think Texas will be particularly challenged, to be honest with you. I like Kent State's program, but you know, they've done a nice job. Maybe this will be the year that they make a little noise in regionals. It just feels like they've had good teams in regionals before,
yeah,
and not made a lot of noise. And I'm proclaiming that first game, the Chafin Carson Smith game, as the Dr. James Andrews Invitational. Mm-hmm. Loser gets an MRI. Let's move on to Nashville, Fitzy. Vanderbilt playing host to crosstown rival Belmont. I'm sure there's a big Vanderbilt-Belmont rivalry, and Lipscomb's really upset about being left out of that. And then Oklahoma State and Troy. Oklahoma State, that's another team that's kind of limping into the postseason. What, they lose their losing records their last four weekends? Is that correct?
I think that's right, yeah. They five of the last six, I think, even. Something like that. They really didn't play well down the stretch.
Team that seemed to be tiring out on the mound. Their converted shortstop Probst fell off in the second half. Their bullpen's been inconsistent. Just not a team. Doesn't seem like a team that's really had. They had one really strong run in them where they won four weekends in a row, won the Bedlam series, and that doesn't look as good in retrospect as it did at the time. I guess they split the four games with Oklahoma. Vanderbilt, obviously, we've talked about it the whole year. They've been in that mix with Florida and Virginia as best team in the country. And South Carolina. I cannot leave South Carolina out of that. Those four teams have very consistently been in the top five of our rankings pretty much from the get-go. Anything to make you think that Vanderbilt is vulnerable this time of year? You just saw them last week in the SEC tournament.
No. I think they're loaded. I think they're firing on all cylinders. I think they're going to roll through this regional. I think they're one of the favorites for the national title. I just think they're really, really complete and confident and loose. And I think they're really going to, like I said, I think they're going to roll through this regional. I really do.
I do as well. It would shock me if they lost a game in the regional. That said, this is a team that lost a regional at home to a good Michigan team, but a Michigan team nonetheless. They lost to a home regional to a Big Ten team. Well, they had the best roster in college baseball in a long time. I mean, they had six or seven future big leaguers on that 07 team. I mean, Pedro Alvarez, David Price, and Mikey Minor already off the top of my head all in the big leagues who were on that team. Ryan Flaherty's on the cusp of that of the big leagues. I know Casey Weathers was a first-round pick. Who else am I missing off that 2007 Vanderbilt team?
I mean, those are the really big-name guys, certainly.
I mean, that team was loaded. That team was as loaded as this team. Probably had more frontline talent. And this team has, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I suppose you could say that. I mean,
there's no Alvarez on this team.
That's true. There's not. There's not. I mean, Aaron Westlake's a great hitter, but he's not Pedro Alvarez. You know, I don't think Jason Esposito, I guess, is pretty comparable to Ryan Flaherty. Those guys are pretty similar players. But, you know, I think I don't know. If I were to compare those two teams, I mean, David Price was probably more dominant than Sonny Gray, too. I mean, the 07 team probably was better. But you know what? That team is not this team. I mean, it's you know, I still think that team was the best team in the country that year, and they had, you know, a bad game or two, and that happens. It happened to Texas and Virginia last year, who I thought were the best teams all season long, and they didn't make it to Omaha. You know, so I mean, just because you're the best team doesn't mean you always win the championship. But I think Vanderbilt probably is the best team right now.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I the thing is, I really like this Vanderbilt team, but if the way it's set up, where the bracket they're facing is Oregon State, Creighton, Georgia, Arkansas, Little Rock, they're going to be prohibitive favorites. If they don't get to Omaha this year, I hate to be sports talk radio about this, but I know that's where I'm going. But if they don't make it to Omaha this year, how big of a dent is that in Tim Corbin's resume? I mean, when do you start saying, wow, he turned Vanderbilt around and made Vanderbilt this big program to, hey, get to Omaha already? You know, I mean, if they don't go this year, man. If he were at LSU, he'd get fired, apparently. But, I mean, you'd really have to start wondering what is happening with that program. They can't get over that hump when they've had that kind of talent.
I think it's a moot point because I think they're going to Omaha this year.
I hope it becomes a moot point, but that's hanging over their heads. We'll see how they play with that. But I think that's hanging over Tim. If it's hanging over anybody's head, it's hanging over Tim Corbin's. And I like Tim, and I like what he's done for college baseball by making Vanderbilt an example of how you can do it. And I really hope that things go well for them, not at the expense of any other club, but it's time to get that monkey off their back and get to Omaha. That program, I think to validate that program a little bit, they need to get to Omaha this year.
Yeah.
So the regional facing them were Vanderbilt. We're both picking Vanderbilt. Where they would whom they would face in – whom would they face in – in a super regional, you might ask? Well, the answer is the winner of Oregon State as your one, Creighton the two, Georgia the three, Arkansas, Little Rock the four, Aaron. For me, there are several storylines here. One, Corvallis is far. It is very, very far, and it's hard to get to for everybody. No matter who, where you're coming from, that's a tough park to get to. And that travel is a factor, I think, in Oregon State. Being a host is a big deal for Oregon State. Has Oregon State ever lost a regional at home? I don't think they have.
I don't think so. They won in 05, 06, 07. I think they hosted all three of those years, and that was the last time.
Yeah, I don't think that was insignificant. I think it's hard to travel to get to Corvallis. There's no direct route. You're flying through one or two places. Creighton, I think, took three planes to get there. It sounds like it was a real ordeal. But Creighton's strengths and Oregon State's strengths are very similar. Georgia seems like the X factor here. They're the box of chocolates team in this regional, and then Arkansas Little Rock, happy to be here. Coach Scott Norwood had a lot of success at Wachita Baptist at the NAIA level in the postseason, but it seems like Arkansas Little Rock's the happy to be here team. What do you think about Creighton and Georgia? Seems like Creighton and Oregon State covering that very same cloth, the pitching and defense clubs. Is Georgia the best offense in this regional?
I suppose by default. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think Georgia's a great offensive team, but, you know, they've got a little bit more in there than those other two teams do. I mean, I think the best offensive player in this regional is Trevor Adams. And, you know, Andrew Susak was probably earlier in the year, but he didn't, you know, he got hurt, and I don't think he's come back really on fire. Trevor Adams for Creighton has had an amazing season, and it's a nice piece to build your lineup around. I like the way that Creighton team plays. You know, they don't beat themselves. It's a classic Ed Service team that plays great defense. You know, they are built to score five runs by any means possible. They're going to bunt. They're going to hit and run. They're going to take chances on the base pass. They're going to do what they have to do to get to five runs because, you know, that's what they always say there is when they score five runs, they win 82% of their games under Ed Service, which probably holds up pretty well across the country. But that program, especially because they throw strikes, you know, they're not going to give you free bases. And they're a lot like Oregon State. I mean, they really are. Oregon State's the same way. They execute the fundamentals. You know, they pitch, they throw strikes, and they don't blow you away offensively. The difference to me is Creighton is hotter right now, for one thing. I'm very curious to see how Oregon State will bounce back from this little swoon. They have not scored runs at all in the last 2 weeks. And, you know, scoring runs helps in baseball.
That's the object. It's like scoring the basketball. You know, I don't mean to sound like Hubie Brown, but you can have all the length and be long all you want, but you have to score the basketball. And in baseball, you got to cross the plate. We did, even the T-ball kids figured that out, Aaron, let me tell you. but, yeah, when you've scored 8 runs in your last 5 games, and I believe the last time they won a game, they were facing Austin Wood, which, you know, oh, no, they actually gave, wow, they gave Austin Wood one of his wins.
Hmm.
I mean, that's just not impressive. No, not to get personal on Austin Wood. He's been a personal anti-cheese ball all year. So, to me, Aaron, I guess the big thing is that Oregon State's offense, what's the health status of their offense? Are they healthy offensively? There's a little time off here, 4 or 5 games off. Is that going to help Andrew Susak get back in the groove? He leads their team in home runs even though he missed a month.
Yeah.
Do they have enough enough healthy bodies to get kickstarted again offensively?
Yeah, I think they're pretty healthy now. I mean, Susak is back and Jake Rodriguez is back. They've even gotten Andrew Duke or Ryan Duke back on the mound. Adam Duke. Excuse me, man. I knew I could come up with it. Adam Duke,
okay.
Which is a nice boost to the pitching staff. But I mean, I think they're healthy. They're just not hitting. You know, I mean, boy, I think they've got some nice pieces. I mean, Brian Stamps is a very exciting player. He's got great speed out there. And when he's hot, I think he kind of makes them go a little bit, but he's been up and down, Carter Bell has been banged up all year long. He's kind of, my opinion, the heart and soul of that team a little bit. Garrett Nash had an injury this year. Hasn't really come back the same player, I feel like. I mean, he's got exciting tools and just, you know, hasn't had a big year. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to expect from this team. I feel like it's hard to write them off because they just they have a history of playing well with their backs to the wall. And you remember going to the 07 postseason, they were playing really poorly.
Yeah.
And they snuck into the tournament as a 3 seed. And, you know, they went to that regional out in Charlottesville, I believe. They were on the brink of elimination, and then they got hot. You know, and that's why they end up hosting Michigan in that super regional. The last time the Corvallis and
that's right,
or the Beavers were paired with Vanderbilt potentially in a super regional matchup, didn't happen. But this time, I'm not sure if they're going to get through this one. I just it's a tough one. This is a tough regional to call.
Well, I'm picking the Blue Jays. I'm definitely picking Creighton. I've been a Creighton apologist all year. My Omaha sleeper in the preseason was Wichita State, but early on I switched that allegiance to the Blue Jays. As my MVC, the Missouri Valley Conference is going to remain my sleeper pick. I saw some crazy stat the other day about how, like, I think it's 9 or 10 Missouri Valley Conference teams have gone to the College World Series since the last Big Ten team went. So, you know, the MVC is a nice little underrated conference. And there have been, you know, Creighton's been Omaha, Southwest Missouri State. Now Missouri State's been Omaha. Obviously, Wichita's been. So it's not just one team. I think I'm missing a fourth Missouri Valley team, I think, that's been in that time. So I'm picking Creighton, not to go to Omaha, but to win this regional, even though it is on the road. I don't think Georgia – I think Georgia may have spent itself by making it to regionals. They're kind of playing with house money, but I just don't believe in Georgia's offense enough. They should be offensive enough to take advantage of a low-scoring regional, but I think Creighton and Oregon State are better at the little things than Georgia. And Georgia's lack of offensive, firepower will haunt it in this regional. So, I'm picking Creighton.
Yeah, Georgia to me is, I could definitely see them coming out of this regional. I really could, but they're just too up and down. And playing against teams like Oregon State and Creighton that take advantage of every mistake, I don't think that's a great matchup necessarily for Georgia. I'm going to take Creighton also. And here's why. To me, the separator ultimately, I love Creighton's bullpen. I'm a sucker for a deep bullpen where you can mix and match, and you've got an anchor back there, and Creighton does.
I thought that would be the reason you would pick Oregon State because they've got a great bullpen too.
They do. They do have a great bullpen, but boy, that's a tough one. I mean, I've gone back and forth on it. I feel a little bit better about Creighton. I just think they're playing better going into this thing.
Well, we both picked the Blue Jays in a mild upset. Aaron, let's move on to the last two brackets. Cal State Fullerton hosting a Goodwin Field in Fullerton, beautiful Fullerton, California. The Titans play host to the Cardinal, Stanford, the Wildcats, Kansas State, and the Illini in Illinois. And tip of the cap, wag of the finger to Illinois. I don't know why I said wag of the finger, but Stephen Colbert reference. Stanford is clearly Stanford the most talented team in this regional? It seems like Fullerton's talent level is pretty comparable to Stanford's, and Fullerton seems like it's a more precise, more experienced team.
Stanford, I think, is more talented offensively. I like Fullerton better on the mound, certainly. I mean, Stanford has talent on the mound, too, but it's just, you know, it hasn't been as consistent, I feel like, as Fullerton's. I mean, Mark Appel might be the number one overall pick next year. He's really good, but he hasn't dominated this year. He's had some games where he's been really good. He hasn't dominated the way Noe Ramirez has for 3 years. For instance, you know, I do think Stanford has the edge over Kansas State in that first game. And I like that Kansas State team. You know, I think that you talk about scrappy, you talk about Ray Birmingham, what he's done with New Mexico. I mean, Kansas State had never made a regional in the program's history. And now they've made three straight under Brad Hill.
You can't you really just can't tell me that Darren Erstad makes more sense than Brad Hill. I mean, he could be a great hire. But Brad Hill makes so much sense to me.
I'm not sure they could have gotten Brad Hill. That's the thing. I mean,
that's possible. But Nebraska's got to have more money than Kansas State.
Sure.
You know.
You think so?
One would imagine. I think I've spoken to Brad Hill one time, but my respect for the Kansas State program is through the roof because they just grind it out. They don't have big time prospects. And I thought also a couple of years ago, well, they got lightning in a bottle with AJ Morris. This will be gone after he leaves. Nah. They kept it up the last 2 years. It's really, really impressive from afar to see Kansas State grind its way to back-to-back regionals since A.J. Morris left the building. I'm very impressed from here. So,
and you know, I like a bullpen, as we just talked about, and they've got a good one. You know, they've got two guys at the back there, James Allen and Evan Marshall, were power guys and have had great numbers and, you know, throw strikes. That gives them a nice edge in a close game. I think Stanford's bullpen is more suspect, even though Chris Reed has got really good stuff, the left-hander.
Snodgrass, you know. That's another suspect left-hander, and Scott Snodgrass,
right.
Who, you know, walks everybody, but he could be a pair. We're here, and he could go in the first five rounds as well. So.
Sure. I mean, they've got great arms back there, but I like Kansas State's bullpen a little bit better. I don't like – you know, I feel like Mark Appel, assuming he starts the first game, gives Stanford a pretty big edge, though, in that matchup. And, you know, it's a good matchup. I kind of like that one.
If this were on a neutral – go ahead. I'm sorry, Aaron.
I was just going to say, but I think Fullerton is the team to beat in this regional. I just think they're so deep on the mound. They've they've weathered the storm of injuries that they've had to deal with. It's not a great offensive team, but it's good enough.
That's how I feel about it. I think that Fullerton is the team, one of all our teams that we had high expectations for at the start of the year. They're the one team that still hasn't really found its stride. Still hasn't had that one stretch where they just put it all together. I think it's coming. I think it's starting this weekend. So I'm picking the Titans to win this regional and more. So we both have the Titans to win this regional. Last but not least, the Chapel Hill Regional. North Carolina, the number one seed. Florida International, the number two. James Madison, the number three. Maine, the number four. Aaron, initially, it seemed like the consensus reaction in the college baseball community was, wow, what a cakewalk regional for North Carolina. I don't think so. Maine has beaten North Carolina at Boschmer Stadium and has pretty good arms, especially for a Northeast team. They have excellent arms. Florida International, one of the hottest teams in the country in the last third of the season. And James Madison, a very offensive club that if you make mistakes on the mound, they will punish you. I don't think it's a great regional. I don't think it's a cake regional either, though. Do you?
No, Florida International and James Madison are, first of all, both a lot more physical than North Carolina, a lot more offensive, a lot more powerful. The Tar Heels have been a lot better offensively than I expected them to be, but they're not as good an offense as FIU or JMU. I think that Florida International is loaded with veterans. Up and down the lineup, they've got power. They've got experience. They were in a regional last year. That team, to me, is dangerous. And you know, they're pretty comparable North Carolina in the rotation. I mean, the Tar Heels don't have those big arms who blow you away anymore. Is Patrick Johnson that much better than Phil Hague?
Yeah, he's better than that guy.
He's better. Oh, he's better for sure. I think North Carolina is the best pitching team in this regional, but
I think
I don't think it's a huge overwhelming edge.
Patrick Johnson has a little bit more stuff and a little less pitchability, but he's kind of comparable to Robert Woodard in some ways. He's turned into a Robert Woodard type of guy, and he's wound up in the top 10 of North Carolina's career strikeouts list and career innings pitched list and career wins. I mean, he's had a pretty nice career there. He's kind of like a Adam Warren Robert Woodard hybrid, because he's a little bit of a power pitcher. Like he's kind of like what Warren was as a sophomore, before, or as a junior before Adam Warren went crazy and started throwing 93 as a senior, because he's less physical. But you know, Patrick Johnson was a top 200 guy at a high school. He's always been a personal cheese ball. Who am I kidding? I've always liked PJ, and he's really hitting his stride now. Complete game shutout against Virginia in his last full regular season start. And then I think he threw what, 6 no hit innings against Wake Forest in the ACC tournament of a game that got rained out. So that rained out, but rain interrupted. So I think Patrick Johnson's a legit ace, and we'll see how North Carolina handles its regional this weekend. I think he's the best pitcher, not the best prospect, but the best college pitcher in this regional for me. I think Carolina actually has announced its regional rotation. I believe that Kent Emanuel is starting the opener against Maine. Now, Maine coach Steve Trimper talking a little junk in the Bangor paper. That's funny just to say, talking junk in the Bangor paper. But how can he do that, Aaron? Why on earth would he do that? I think they're quaking in their boots about the arms that we're bringing down there. That seemed like a bad idea.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's a good idea.
I know Maine beat North Carolina with these pitchers in Chapel Hill, like I guess it was last year, but
It
was 1 out of 3, and that team didn't have Colin Moran in the middle. That's the other factor here is that Colin Moran is the best player in this regional. I know Jake Lowry and David Herbeck have great stats at James Madison. And I know we know Garrett Whittles. We know the middle of that lineup. It's a potent lineup, and Pablo Bermudez has had a great year at FIU. He's really been the linchpin to their offense. I mean, he runs the bases. He's hitting for average better than Garrett Whittles. He's got some power, maybe not as much as Martinez, but he does a little bit of everything. He's a really nice college player. But for me, I think North Carolina has the best pitcher in this regional. They have the best hitter in this regional. And with all due respect to Steve Trimper, Spanky McFarland, and Turtle Thomas, they're the best coach in this regional. Mike Fox has just done a tremendous job with this team this year, so I'm picking the Tar Heels to win that regional.
Yeah, that's probably a safe pick, for sure. I mean, they're the favorite. They're the number 3 national seed. But
sounds like it's not your pick.
I got to tell you, the way Florida International is swinging the bats right now, I mean, they scored 13 runs, 11 runs, and 11 runs in their first 3 games in the conference tournament. I think they can go in there and score some runs against that North Carolina pitching staff. I'm going to take the upset. I'm taking Florida International.
That is a huge upset. You're picking the number 3 national seed to go down at home. Well, I tweeted it as soon as it was announced. I thought Florida International was a very legit 2 seed. I went back and forth on Twitter with a couple people, or I tried to engage people who thought that was a weak regional. I think it's a strong regional, and I think Florida International is a very good 2 seed, but I'm not going there. I think North Carolina will win at home. So we only differed, Aaron, on one regional on the right side of the bracket, and this is the one, North Carolina and Florida International. So we've got Florida and Georgia Tech in a super regional. Who do you like there, Gators or
Gators.
Yellow Jackets? I'm also going with the Gators. Arizona State, Texas. That would be a historic super regional in terms of the program's history. I got to think if that one really depends on where it's played, and obviously Texas being one of the top 8 national seeds, get a pretty big advantage. It does seem, though, like Arizona State's the kind of team, Aaron, that athletically should play very well at Dish Falk Field.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they've got a lot of athletes. That's a great point. But you know, I think I'm going to stick with Texas in this one. I just like them at home. I love their pitching. I suspect that'd be a great matchup. It could go either way, but I'll take Texas.
I think that could go either way, but I have a feeling that Taylor Youngman is going to do something very special in this postseason. And he's had a tremendous year all year. I have a feeling that he's almost going to be like an Austin Wood, kind of like, I'm not going to let us not get to Omaha, you know, after experiencing it as a freshman. So I'm picking Texas, although I'm very tempted by the Sun Devils there. Vanderbilt versus Creighton in a super regional. That would be a pretty interesting regional of I'm not sure how anyone would pick against the Commodores there. We've got to both pick Vanderbilt there, right?
Yes.
Especially since Florida was your preseason national championship pick and Vanderbilt was mine, so I got to pick the Commodores there. And then we have I have Titans Tar Heels. You have Titans Golden Panthers. I would pick the Titans anyway. I don't have North Carolina winning that. I have North Carolina winning the regional, but not the super regional. I think Cal State Fullerton, like I said, I think they are primed to go on a roll. And I think that, you know, they're finally healthy and firing on all cylinders more now than they have, even though they haven't done it yet on the field. I think they're going to be healthy enough to really get going. So I'm picking Cal State Fullerton there. Who do you have, Titans or Golden Panthers?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Titans also, John. I think that's the pitching is too good.
I got to tell you, it would be awesome if Florida International went to Omaha and to see Isaiah Thomas roll out at the College World Series. Could you imagine? Could you imagine what would happen if we went to the Drover and Isaiah Thomas was hanging out there?
That would be wild, weird stuff.
That would really be pretty funny. So our Omahas, our College World Series fields, on the left side of the bracket, I've got Virginia, Rice, Florida State, and Clemson, plus on the right side, Florida, Texas, Vanderbilt, and Cal State Fullerton. Aaron Fitz, Omaha, Virginia, Cal, Arizona, Clemson, Cal State Fullerton, Vanderbilt, Texas, Florida. So on the right side of the bracket, we agree. On the left side, we disagree. Fitzy, who's your College World Series champion pick?
College World Series champion pick? Yours is clearly Vanderbilt.
I'm sticking with Vanderbilt, and I got to tell you, I'm a little wary of that pick because Vanderbilt, when the chips were down this year, they didn't perform. They lost the series to South Carolina. They lost a series to Florida, and they lost the SEC Tournament Championship game to Florida. But I have to think well, here's actually what I kind of think might happen, and I hope that Vanderbilt does this. They have so much starting pitching depth. To me, they need to follow, even though they didn't win the national championship that year, I want to see Sonny Gray in an Alex White role in Omaha. Mm. I want to see Tim Corbin think a little outside the box and DJ too, and take Sonny Gray and put him in a moment of truth role. And you got Garvin, you got Hill, you got the Jack Armstrongs, the Navery Moores. You have so much depth out there. But when the chips are down and the whole season's on the line, I want Sonny Gray on the mound. And I feel like that is a role in which Sonny Gray wants to play for his team, not to pitch out there once every 3 or 4 days or have to come back on short rest. So for me, if I'm Vanderbilt, that's how I'd go. I know that's a little off the board, but we've seen it happen with a guy like Alex White in Omaha, and I think it could happen. Other teams have done it as well. They had a key guy who's kind of – Lewis Coleman did it for LSU. I think it's a formula that works, and I'm going to pick an SEC team again. But honestly, in some ways, I feel better about Florida's chances because the way that they've played down the stretch and the fact that Zunino has been such a nice power plant for them. But I do think Vanderbilt, for me, I think Vanderbilt's the team. And speaking of that, Josh Holliday's calling me right now on the cell, which is funny. That's my pick, Aaron. I'm picking Vanderbilt to beat Virginia on the other side of the bracket. But if I'm ranking the teams, I'm going Vanderbilt, Fullerton, Florida, Texas on that side of the bracket. I really have a good feeling about the Titans because of all they've gone through this year. And on the other side, I would go Virginia, Clemson, Rice, Florida State. No offense, Mike Martin. He's the sentimental favorite for me, but I just with their pitching the way it is, I just don't see the Seminoles bringing home Mike Martin's first championship. What's your pick there, Aaron?
I'm going to go with the Gators, and I think it comes down to Florida or Vanderbilt for me. I think those are the two most complete teams. Virginia as well is very complete, but I just think that Florida beat Vanderbilt 3 times this year head-to-head, and including in the SEC title game. I think the fact that Florida was in Omaha last year matters. All those guys have experience there. And we've seen first-timers go there and win. I mean, that's what Fresno did a few years back. And, it's not unheard of anymore. But I think it helps to have been there. Florida went did not play well there last year. I think they've got something to prove. I think they're incredibly talented and well-coached. I'm going to take the Gators over the Cavaliers in the championship.
We both have Virginia winning the left side of the bracket. How would you rank that side of the bracket over there? Because Virginia, for you, I would imagine it would be Virginia, Clemson, Arizona Cal? Is that how you rank your?
Yeah, that sounds about right. And maybe even Arizona over Clemson. I like Arizona's team, as you know. I think it could be Virginia, Arizona, Clemson, Cal, maybe.
It's a stunning reversal to have you be the Clemson champion here. It's really shocking to me that I'm the guy who thinks Clemson's really good. But it does seem like Virginia, you know, I got to say that I think Virginia and Florida, two teams that were there in 2009 and weren't there last year with really good clubs, wouldn't shock me to see the Titans and the Cavaliers win this. It's nothing against Florida. I think Florida's very, very good. They're midweek issues all year, and the fact that they're going to throw a lot of fastballs, I don't know. That hasn't worked for them this year. I'm just curious as to – they just have a few more losses than every other than the other top teams there, and you can shrug those off in the middle of the year. I'm just not so sure that Florida's going to be able to avoid some of those. They really seem like they haven't had that giant win streak.
Yeah.
It seems like you kind of got to have that big hot streak. Florida doesn't seem like they've ever really had that one big long hot streak this year. That's just a little intangible for me. It doesn't feel like they've ever really caught fire either. But I feel like the Titans are due for that. And I like the fact that both those teams, like I said, Virginia and Fullerton, went to Omaha in 2009 and kind of expected to get back last year and didn't. I think there's a little extra hunger for those veterans, the Steven Proches, the Ramirez's, those kind of guys on both those two rosters. But that's all, neither here nor there. Thank goodness we get to actually settle this on the field coming up starting this weekend, Aaron. You'll be at Goodwin Field at Cal State Fullerton and UCLA. I'll be over in Chapel Hill. Jim Schoner will be in Columbia. And we'll be breaking it all down on a podcast for you next week when the regional dust clears here on BaseballAmerica.com and, of course, on iTunes. Anything final parting thoughts from you, Aaron Fidd?
It's going to be a fun postseason. I really think so. I mean, I had a hard time picking a lot of these regionals, you know, and I probably took some chances, and I'm probably going to look like a fool. But that's fine because it's all in good fun.
It is.
And I think it's a very interesting year in college baseball, and I look forward to seeing how it plays out.
Me too, Aaron. Well, we'll talk about it next week on the next Baseball America podcast. For Aaron Fitt, I'm John Manuel. Until next time, so long, everybody.